It's a privilege to be back here with you this morning. If you're visiting us for the first time, we've been going through a series in the book of Psalms, and they're called the Psalm of Ascent. It's a group of psalms that were songs that were sung as people went up to Jerusalem for their different festivals that they had. And I want to welcome everyone, and I hope you feel at home. I hope you feel among family. And I feel extra around the family this morning because I have my mom visiting here from Brazil. So please say hi to her. Where's my mom? Go say hi. She doesn't speak a word of English, but she talks smiles, she talks hugs. She understands that language, just like my dad. If you met my dad before, you can talk to her just by smiling at her, saying hi. Anyway, it's a joy to be sharing with you this morning again. This is the first time that I get to preach since I started a business. If you've been wondering what happened to me, for the past 7 months, a friend of mine and I, we started a landscaping business with the goal of hiring refugees and other vulnerable people. And we thought it was going to be a part-time job. And then it kept growing and growing and growing. And so that's what it looks like to be a business owner, is what something like that takes over your life, basically. If you're a business owner, you know that. But I'm very blessed because we've had so many clients. Now we're praying for more people to hire. So right this week, we had our first person that we're able to hire. But we need people that we can serve. So be it refugees or someone that you know that needs a job, that needs more than a job, that needs someone to come alongside them, please think of us, think of me. So I want to invite Danae up to read the passage this morning. If you're able to stand, please stand. We're going to read together.
Psalm 123. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hands of her mistress, so our eyes look to you, Lord, our God, till he has mercy on us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, so much again for this morning, for the privilege that we have to worship you freely together as a community in this part of the city. Thank you for bringing everyone here. Thank you for giving us another day of life to live for you, to be able to hear a word. Lord, I pray that you please use this morning for us to be able to hear a word. Lord, I pray that your spirit will speak into each one of our hearts. Lord, that your name will be glorified and our lives will be changed and it will be more and more like you each day, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so as I was thinking, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but like sometimes when I get a passage from the Bible, and I'll be honest, this was a psalm that, you know, it was my day to preach was this psalm. And I looked at the psalm and I read the first time, I was like, when am I going to preach from this psalm? Like, have you ever had a passage in the Bible that you read and it was like, I have no idea what I'm really going to get at with this passage? But that's the amazing thing about God's word being a living word, is that you can read it and you can pray and God will speak to you and God will start to shape you and transform you, and you start to see things that you didn't see before. And there's so many things around the Psalms itself that are there to shape us, to help us be more the community of God. So if you imagine, like, there's a word, if you're not, like, very, you know, what is it? Like, there's, like, a Christianese word, I would say, like liturgy. I can't even pronounce it very well. But basically, it's the practice, all the stuff that we do as a church, like the order of the service, the, you know, everything that we do when we gather on Sunday has roots in the history of the Christian church. We do stuff because people have done throughout history for a purpose of shaping the people of God into his people, for bringing us closer to God, for helping us worship God better, for helping us love God better. And the word liturgy, like if you think of it in terms of practices, things that we do that like shape us, then there's lots of liturgy around us. And there's a whole book dedicated to it, You Are What You Love by James Smith, I think. You can read and he talks a lot about it. I really recommend if you're looking for a book this summer. So basically the idea is that, I'll give you an example. So I'm Brazilian, so I am watching the World Cup. And any chance I get, I'm glued on my phone watching the scores. And if you know me, I don't care about sports at all. Like, if you try to talk to me about football, baseball, or anything, it just goes right over my head. I have no idea what you're talking about. But I love the World Cup. I love soccer. And this is the one time ever 4 years that I joined the rest of the world. This is actually a world sport. You know, everyone else is watching it. And like, the Taliban's probably taking a break right now from fighting because everyone wants to watch the World Cup. Like, you have no idea how big it is. For so many countries where we don't have like an entire year of different seasons of sports, this is the one sport that we have. So please don't take it away. Don't say, oh, it's only like 2-3 goals every match. Come on. It's like, no, it's amazing. Even when your team is not doing so well, right? Like right now. But that's another story. So, but here's the thing. Like talking about practices and things that we do to help shape people, right? So we have a World Cup liturgy in our house right now. So basically, like, we have games at 5 in the morning, and our kids woke up at 5 in the morning this week to watch Brazil play. So, you know, little kids, vacation, that's a miracle. So the thing is, like, the practice, the things that we do, like, in normal routine in life, have the ability to shape what we love, have the ability to shape what you really like. So to the point where my son is not here right now. If you look at his haircut, it's because he wants to look like Neymar, the main Brazilian player. So he's getting up to watch the game. He's kicking the ball around the house, almost broke several things around the house because he wants so bad to, now he wants to play soccer, of course. You know, he loves soccer because we're getting up, we're getting excited. We're like passionate about watching it. So guess what happens to our kids? They get passionate about it. They want to be like Neymar. So liturgy works the same way for us. Like the things that we do that may seem just like a ritual, that are like, oh, why are we doing this again? Well, hopefully, if really God is shaping you, it's motivating what you love. It's motivating that you love God, that you love Jesus. I hope that by the practices that we do as a church, like just like my son wanted to shave his head and have a haircut just like Neymar, that hopefully you want to be like Jesus. Just because of the practices that we have, the things that we show that we love over and over again by how we act and how we just how we look at life. There's a quote from this book that I mentioned. Basically, the idea is that he talks about that. That what if instead of thinking of human beings primarily as thinking things, we thought of them as lovers? And he argues the idea that basically God is always trying to shape our affections. Liturgy, the psalms, the singing, communion, everything we do is shaping our affections for Jesus, shaping our desire to serve and to love Jesus. So we're going to go to the first verse of Psalm 123. If you have a Bible with you, there's a Bible in front of you. I don't know the page number. It should be easy to find. We have a page number right now. But, you know, it should be easy to find. Ask someone next to you. But it's good to have the Bible open in front of you when we're going through the sermon. So Psalm 123, it starts with, "To you, I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens." So basically, the psalmist here starts by putting things in the right perspective, right? For once, we see the theme from the previous psalms, that the idea of lifting up your eyes, you know, to the hills, lifting up. Now he's lifting up his eyes to God himself, the idea of lift up in your eyes. And he's declaring, this is an act of worship. He's saying that he is the one enthroned, saying that God is the one in charge of the universe. God is the king of the universe, and we can lift up our eyes to him. Him alone and no one else, right? So where do we look for help normally when things are going bad? So I know Pastor Bob mentioned a little bit about that. Like, it's pretty hard. And if I'm honest, God is not the most convenient person to go to for help. Think about it. It's so much easier to go to your credit card, to go to your friend. There's always something more convenient. We as human beings love convenience, right? I definitely learned that lesson here in America. It's all about convenience. Like Amazon Prime, we're Amazon Prime generation, right? We want it right away, and you're guaranteed always going to get what you want on Amazon Prime, right? But with God, it takes faith to believe that he's going to answer you. It takes obedience. It takes you trusting him that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. So So it's not that natural response for us. But with him, we're not guaranteed to get always what we want, but we're guaranteed to get what we need. He's in charge of the universe, and he's the one who can show us mercy. He's the one that can truly answer and give us what we need each day. Amen. Verse 3 and 4. We'll continue verse 2 first. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of the maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us. So if you've read this verse, and if you pay attention to this verse, servant, maidservant, like, I don't know about you, but this is part of the psalm. When I read it, I was like, what is he talking about in the psalm? Like, I don't know any servants. I mean, the idea of servant and slave is so different than what it is in our culture. We don't really have that anymore. It's really hard to grasp this concept of like a maidservant and a servant looking to the hand of their master for mercy. Like looking to the hand of their master. It says, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. Right? And here's the thing. If you've ever been in a position of being vulnerable, like if you've ever truly, truly been completely vulnerable to other people, you would understand this better. So if you identify with anyone vulnerable, if you've ever spent time with anyone that's hurt and broken and who has no hope, like think about it. Like right now, with a stroke of a pen, our presence can separate families and can unite families. There's so many families right now completely dependent on a little signature that could change their lives completely. We have a family in our church who's been faithfully serving God in India for a while. And with a stroke of a pen, their life in India was over overnight. They were kicked out of India, the Vasquez. Julie and I met in Turkey. You know the story. And we knew so many people who had been there for 10, 15, 20 years. They knew that was their home. One day, they're coming back into the country. They take the person to custody, and next thing you know, you're out of the country. Sorry, your life is over. So that's some of the examples of being vulnerable. It's when your life is truly dependent on the will of other people, then you really start to pay attention to their hands. You really start to pay attention to what they can do. And that's the same heart, the same attitude that the psalmist has here when he's talking about the servant coming and looking at the hands of the master. Like, because we know that the one has all power in the universe is only God, and we can look at him for his mercy. But the thing is, can we come to him with the heart of a vulnerable person? Because maybe you think, I'm not that vulnerable. I mean, if anything, you know, in our country, most of us wouldn't think of us as vulnerable. Like, we have access to so much in this country. Things are so much easier than so many other countries. Like, we're not having to flee our country because of violence. We're not having to flee our country because our kids are being kidnapped. We don't, you know, don't have to fear violence every day you go out of the door. Like, Brazil is, like, way better than Mexico in terms of violence in many ways, or some countries in Central America. But I grew up where every day you go out, you don't know if you're going to be robbed. You don't know if you're going to be stabbed. You don't, like, it's normal. Like, I'll never go out of a watch. Like, if you've never been around that, you don't know what's to feel fear, what's to feel always vulnerable. But that's precisely the heart that we have to kind of come to the Lord, is feeling kind of naked and vulnerable, knowing, God, I need you. Because before you, I have nothing in me. I have nothing that I can really go to that can do anything for me. Like my credit card, my friends, my networks, my degrees, whatever. Everything fails. Everything pales before the Lord our God. And he's the one. And when you're in the bottom of some really dark moments in your life, you'll know what I'm talking about. And that's what so many people in our country are going through right now. And so many people in different countries in the world are going right now. Like I mentioned to you before, Pastor Andrew Brunson in Turkey, been praying, hopefully you've been praying for him. Like over a year in prison. He was a pastor serving in Izmir faithfully for 20-something years. He's an American citizen. One day he's arrested. He's still in prison. They still haven't made a clear case against him. He's missed his daughter's wedding. He's just sitting in prison. He's depending on someone's signature right now to get out of prison. That's being vulnerable. That's the heart that we need to come before the Lord for our brothers and sisters who are suffering, but for ourselves too, thinking, even if you think you're safe and secure, when it comes before the Lord, you're just as vulnerable. We're just as broken and in need of the Lord. The more, just a thought, the more vulnerable we are, the more intently we're going to look at the hands of the Master. Like, the more in need you are, the more clear it's going to become how much God can really do for you. Like, the more you experience God, the more you trust God, the more you go to God for help, the more you're going to see how powerful He is to really answer your prayers. Verse 3 and 4. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. For we have had more than enough of contempt. Our souls has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. When was the last time that you experienced contempt and scorn? Maybe that's even a word that you like, don't think about it. Like, when was the last time that you were despised or that someone made mean comments towards you because of a position that you have, because you're a follower of Jesus? Like, some of you maybe have experienced it lately, some of you haven't. But like, in so many places, again, that's a norm. Like, just because of who you are as a Christian, you haven't said anything, you haven't argued about anything, but because you're a Christian, you're a reason for to be mocked, you're a reason to be persecuted, you're a reason to be shunned. And that's the kind of situation where the psalmist is referring, how as a people, they were tired of being scorned and being despised by their neighbors. They had suffered so much and they kept being persecuted in many ways. So a question that I have is that if you haven't experienced any scorn, if you haven't experienced any persecution, if you haven't experienced any backlash purely from being a Christian, for standing for things that you stand for as a Christian, maybe it's because you have conformed so much to this world that you're also at ease. And I say that with fear and trembling before the Lord. If you haven't experienced any backlash as a Christian, and you are not living in a bubble inside of your house 24 hours a day, because that way, you know, you probably can get away with it, it's probably because you conformed so much to this world that you're also at ease. That's the language in the Bible. And that was a challenging thing that God spoke to me to this week. It's like, what have I done lately? What risk have I taken lately to show that God is really in charge of my life? Like, what thing is God stirring up in your heart that is asking you to take that risk, to do something completely out of your comfort zone? Maybe it's to speak to someone at work about His love who is hurting. But maybe you're too worried about what they're going to say, so you prefer to stay at ease. What is it that God is calling you to do? Maybe it's to come alongside someone that is hurting, someone who's suffering some way. Maybe it's to speak up, to stand up and speak up for justice, to do something about those who are being oppressed and persecuted here and other places. If you're open to the Spirit of God, God is always telling us something. Especially if you're in the Bible, you're going to be challenged over and over again about something that God is calling you to do. And as you do that, you're probably going to face some sort of retaliation, some sort of persecution, some sort of things that people are going to say against you. And what are you going to do when that happens? So when God calls us to do what He wants us to do, there's probably persecution that's going to come with it. There's some sort of something that someone's going to say to you. Often from the ones that we trust most and love the most, someone's going to say something very negative to you at very least. And then depending where you go and depending how far you go, especially if you're standing for justice, if you're standing for things that you believe God has called you to do, the more you go against the crowd, the harder it's going to get. But remember that if God is calling you to do it, He's going to empower you to do it. And He's calling you to align Himself, to align yourself with His heart for the world. And He hears the prayer of the persecuted. He hears the prayers of the oppressed. And the Bible is full of promises and full of warnings about what God is going to do to the oppressed and what God is going to do to the oppressor. So don't be afraid to stand up and follow what God is calling you to do, because the Bible is filled with promises, both of justice and of comfort for those who are suffering right now, for those who stand up for those who are suffering right now. Because the moment you identify yourself with the suffering, guess what? You're going to get something coming your way too. Like, you decide to hang out with the broken, you're going to, you know, they have sharp edges. You're going to get poked. At the very least, you're going to get poked. Like, I remember, like, one day I came home when my first 6 months in Turkey, and I was trying to learn Turkish, and I would go to this barber shop, and I would just sit there in the barber shop with these guys as they're, you know, just, like, chattering Turkish. And at the beginning, I had no clue what they were saying. But, you know, if you've met a Turkish person, Turkish people love smoking. They're very big into smoking. They're chain smokers, unfortunately. And I remember this small barber shop. It was like a box of smoke. And I hate smoke. I can't stand the smell of cigarettes. And I would spend like the whole day there with them. And then one day I came home and I complained to one of the pastors in the team. And I said, his name was William. I said, hey, I can't take the smell of smoke anymore. And he's like, well, you want to walk with sinners? You're going to smell like sinners. He's like, it's just part of it. If you want to be with people, you're going to feel the effect of it. You're going to suffer the effects of it. You want to identify yourself with the brokenness of this world, you're going to feel the effects of it. If you're too comfortable, and if you're at ease, maybe because you're not listening hard enough to what God is saying to you. And I say that to me too. I don't come to you this morning in a position of like, oh, I got this out, but I really felt challenged this week to continue to pursue God. Like, even right now, as we're like looking to hire people. So we started this business. I was like, wow, what a great idea. Let's hire, you know, broken people. Guess what? They don't make the best employees. If you think it's hard to find good employees, try hiring, you know, ex-cons and, you know, homeless people. And it's just even harder. It's just like, you know, you start to wish like, why did I start this again? Like, what am I doing? But that's exactly what Jesus did, right? He didn't hang out with the people who had it all together. And he would call his disciples would try to get rid of people, say, oh, you stopped it, send her away. Say, no. There's like so many times where Jesus would be like, no, you don't get it. I'm here for them, for the people who are hurting the most, for the ones who think they're good, they don't need me, or they think they don't need me, but the ones that are broken, they need me the most. And God has called us to be with them, to walk with them. And God has called us to remind us that He is our Lord, that He is the one, that the King of the universe, the one who sits upon the throne, is calling us to do it. So He will enable us to do it. And as I think about the whole series of the Psalms of Ascent, I have a picture that it's almost like the image that I get in my mind is as if the Psalms of Ascent is a picture of Jesus Himself. And the way up to Jerusalem, which is the image of the way up to the presence of God. So who's the way, the truth, and the light? The life is Jesus Himself. In a way, Jesus Himself is our song of ascent. So I encourage you as a family of God that we together are walking this journey. We sing together. We shape one another's hearts and affections towards Jesus and towards the broken as we're walking together towards Jerusalem, towards the presence of the Father. God Himself is calling us to Himself, and through Jesus we can make that way. Think about it. I'm a very visual person. Did you ever picture how this would be like a procession of people as a good Brazilian style carnival is coming through this part of Jerusalem and, you know, going up to Jerusalem? All these people gathered together, going up to Jerusalem, singing. And if I'm imposing my cultural bias on them, they would have drums and they'll have colorful flags and they'll be lamenting and rejoicing and saying how great God is. And all this people will be like going up and singing to God, and like all these short songs that we're gonna go through this next few weeks. They're all pointing to something about God, points to something about our struggle, points something about how great God is and how we're going towards Him, that we're being brought towards Him because He called His people in the first place. That our act of worship is actually initiated by God Himself. It's not because one day you woke up and decide, I'm going to be a good person today. I'm going to go to church and worship God. Well, guess what? God is the one that put the desire for you. God is the one that allowed you to wake up. God is the one that calls his people to come together and worship him and to go towards Jerusalem, to go towards the Father. And to you, if you're just visiting us today, and if you're not sure too much about church and God, so imagine yourself watching that procession of people going up. I hope you see that through their pain, through their joy, through their proclamation of who God is, you feel compelled to join as we walk towards the Lord, towards our God. I hope God is moving your heart closer and closer to him as we go through the Psalms, as we go through God's word, as you go through each part of our liturgy that is shaping you to love Jesus more and more, to love your neighbor more and more, that God may call you to himself. I want to finish with this verse. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'll read it again. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy, receive his favor, and find grace to help in time of need. God, thank you so much, Lord, for your word this morning. Lord, thank you for how you call us to you, Lord, how you bring us to you, Lord, through so many ways as we come, as we sing to you, Lord, as we sing together, as we sing out there, Lord, as we sing on the streets of Phoenix, as we sing everywhere you take us, Lord. May you draw more and more people to you, Lord. May you draw more people to join us as we walk towards you, Lord Jesus. Please, Lord. May you bring comfort, Lord, to the oppressed and the tired. May you lift our eyes to you, Lord, as we look to you for help, for mercy, not just for ourselves, Lord, but for our nation and for all the people who are broken and who are needy, and for all the children who are away from their families, all the parents that are crying because they're missing their families, Lord. Please have mercy on our nation, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.